And then next to it, it says, like, make icy magic. And there's this little circular platform and then a button with a snowflake on it. And I guess, like, the idea is you would put the bottle of Coke on it and push the button and it would somehow,
like, flash freeze it or something?
Rapidly cool it? I have no idea. Like, every time I look at it, I'm like, I just want to use that thing.
I just want to know if it actually works and how it works. Yeah, that's, all right, well, great, thank you for telling me that, that's going to haunt me.
Yeah, maybe tomorrow we can go.
Just get an ice cold something.
I mean, I imagine you can put whatever you want on it, right? I maybe you can't do cans, maybe it only does bottles.
Put some taquitos on there.
Yeah, keys. Tall can of chelada. Is this that Budweiser and Clamato?
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
Ugh, is that still a thing?
I think they still make that. We'll get some Bud Light Limeritas.
All right, well, now you're talking my language.
And put them on that thing and get that shit cold.
They call me Mr. Limerita on account I have won the Mr. Limerita competition 4 years running.
I understand you have some theme music that is just that Bob Dabalina song, except it says Limerita.
Yeah, I'm thinking about moving into, Dan suggested this, it's Billy Squire's The Stroke, but instead it's just Limerita.
Limerita. Yeah.
He's right, that song really does kind of work for everything.
It's quality material.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the folks playing at home, today is the day it all begins.
Yeah. Yeah, we start doing our thing.
The sequestering has begun.
Yeah. Easy this year.
Yeah, definitely nothing contentious at all.
Yeah.
There is going to be one of those years, some year, where it's just, like, none of the arguments really take very long, and we're done in, like, 3 hours total. I don't think this is going to be that year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just know someday that's going to happen, and we're all going to be taken back by it.
That's when we then go to record the Game of the Decade podcast on the back of it.
Oh, no.
Something like that. I think it'd be fun. I just don't know. I don't think Game of the Decade is the right thing. Maybe it's like, what are the top 50 games for a platform or something like that?
Sure.
Maybe that would be fun.
It also might be fun next year, since next year's the 10-year anniversary of the site, right?
Yeah.
It might be fun just to do a, hey, what's our favorite, like, what are our top 10 games of the 10 years of Giant Bomb?
Right. Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Yeah, that might be fun.
Because we've talked about doing these games of the generation, games of the decade, and all that kind of stuff. That might be finally the hook that we need to tie that together.
Yeah, maybe that makes sense. And it's like way, you know, there's something about game of the generation that gets weird when you start talking about PC games.
Yeah.
So you kind of end up having to narrow it down to a time frame anyway. I guess I actually go back and forth on some of that type of list stuff. It's like a top list of, like, I don't know, like the top 100 NES games or something like that. It's, on one level, I think that would be fun. On another level, maybe that's just too old, and I'm like so many, that conversation has been had so many times now in so many different places that I just kind of go, ugh, when it comes up, so.
Yeah, think about that. I sit there and I think, like, okay, well, outside of, like, trying stuff for 5 minutes on an emulator, have I actually played 100 NES games?
Yeah.
And I'd say probably no. It's probably closer to, like, 60 of games that I've, like, spent a long time with. 60 or 70, maybe.
And, like, some of those things get so, like, the top games become not obvious, I guess. Like, the ordering isn't necessarily always obvious, but it's just like, well, where are we going to put Super Mario Brothers 3?
Right.
It's widely accepted as a great game.
Where do we put Legend of Zelda? Where do we put Metroid?
I guess maybe that would be, like, the fucking sticking point in some ways, because I have extremely little passion for Super Mario 3.
I mean, it's not my favorite Mario.
Yeah.
But it is probably one of my top Marios.
I recognize it as a really tremendous game.
Yeah.
But I... like, I never go back to play it.
I would
the way
always,
I play One or World.
Yeah, I would always rather be playing World. World is probably still my favorite.
Yeah.
I will say I do respect Polygon's hustle and their top 500 thing they're doing. It's just like...
Oh, are they doing top 500?
Yeah.
Is it all time? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
And I'm very much just like, yeah, fuck it, why not? Just
yeah, go for right,
it.
Yeah.
Just go all the way for it.
Like, I think that's fun because, like, but, well, there's multiple ways it could go. Like, if you're taking it, like, deathly seriously, I think that is a joyless fucking task.
Yes.
That like... doesn't result in anything good at the end either. But if you're acknowledging that, like, people are people and sometimes they have fucking weird opinions about games, and you're just like, no, we're not going to stand on ceremony and fucking just, like, crown these games the way that, like, everyone says they should, because this thing is inherently ridiculous, and we're just going to do something dumb while still taking it just seriously enough for it to work.
Right. That's how I feel from the little bits that I've read. It's like, yes, they are taking it seriously, but it's not like, no, this is definitive.
Right, good, yeah.
It's like, no, this is just our fucking weird-ass list of way too many games that all you were going to fucking argue about and react to, and that's great.
People that do that are like, oh, there's traffic up here, I better let the people behind me know by putting on my hazards.
Yeah.
I feel like are the worst people.
Because we're all fucking blind and can't see the cars 10 feet in front of you. Thanks. Thanks, Volvo.
Safe car.
Thank you.
trying to think how you would even do that. If you were like, okay, top 500 of all time. Like, if you were to take a staff and try to do that, like, logistically.
Especially a staff the size of polygons, which is not small.
Yeah. They probably just have a Slack channel devoted to it or something.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, a written thing that is like, here's three paragraphs about 500 different names, like that.
In this case, it's like one paragraph. Okay, I don't think they post the entire thing. Maybe some of the write-ups get longer as they get more toward the top. Yeah, but like, everything's been like a paragraph.
Yeah, that seems less fun.
Yeah.
Like, making the list or reading it, like, that's something that gets boiled down to a forum post, and then you read it and go, that's wrong, and then move on. It's only fun if it's a series of podcasts that takes you a full year.
Yes. And you never leave.
Right.
Some point you spend an entire day arguing which belongs at 383 and which belongs at 382, and then just everyone snaps.
Yeah. And you just realize, like, what am I doing with my life?
Yes.
Trying to put together a gigantic indie wrestling show.
Yes, it's him and the Bucks.
Yeah.
They're using their own money, I guess, to fund this, like, 10,000 seat show.
Yeah.
Where are they holding it?
This is what I'm trying to find out.
Say.
Yeah, Deadspin article is long and drawn out, but
light on details.
Yeah. Just say, no non-WWE promotion has drawn 10,000 fans in the U.S. since WCW closed. That's crazy. I would have assumed that TNA would have had at least one or two houses that would have been that big. Would be, I guess not.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were in venues that were that big.
Right.
But, yeah, they've just never drawn those kinds of crowds. I feel like that if they're smart about it and they book the right talent for it, they could totally pull it off.
Yeah, they would have to announce it well in advance and give people would need to be able to travel to the area. Yeah. You would probably need to do... You'd almost need to do, like, an access-style event around it, like a convention thing for signings and stuff.
That's the thing. Like, there's so many, like, actually valuable names on the indie scene now that, like, you could put together a really good card of non-WWE and probably even, like, non-New Japan talent. You know, non-Ring of Honor. And still fucking make something happen.
Yeah. It's just an hour and a half of Joey Ryan flipping people with his dick.
It's Keith Lee moonsaulting onto shit. I love Joey Ryan.
Yes.
I love that character. I love every stupid thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
I was at some point the city was going to...
Wrestle show on the 5th of November.
Yeah, so there's probably one coming up, I guess, this Friday.
Well,
it's the first Friday.
That one was in San Francisco. Yeah, and then 11-3 in Oakland. Yeah, I think their Oakland show was a monthly thing.
Yeah.
San Francisco show had Joey Ryan on it. Recap of the show is pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs Bunny came to the ring again saying he couldn't trust the coke anymore after Pong switched it with a volatile substance, leaving him in a horrible condition in October. He hadn't done coke since, and he's not sure where to go from here. Johnny Drinko Butabi came to the ring and told him to try liquor. James C. emerged saying drugs didn't need anything but support and a good friend. Batmanuel came to the ring mad that Drinko had never closed his bar tab from 2 months ago, and Batmanuel said he'd keep it open. He'd keep open for him. An agreement was made: if Batmanuel and Drinko won against Drugs and James C., he'd close the tab. Match 4: Super Beast pinned Prawn Cena with a running power slam to win a fatal 4-way featuring Berkeley Brawler and El Chupacabra.
I love the legitimate theater.
Yeah.
Prawn Cena is really good.
Apparently they have someone else named Ian Hansment who won the match, which I... Alright. Anton Voorhees and Ian Hansment defeated the Stoner Brothers, Scott Rick and Rick Scott Stoner, and Joey Ryan and Joey Ryan's Penis to become new Intergalactic Tag Team Champions.
Was it just a guy in a dick costume, or was the penis just sort of treated as a separate entity?
I imagine they just treated it as a separate entity.
All right.
But keep in mind, like, that's a tag team match.
Right.
Where his partner is literally built.
Just his own dick.
Yeah.
All right.
Coach Joey Nuggs, the man with the other golden fanny pack.
All right. It's a sentence. That is, yeah. Yeah, the Hood Slam. I've only been to one Hood Slam show. It was very fun. They know what they are.
Yeah. Talking about Daniel Bryan.
What about him?
The idea of him wrestling again.
I mean, if he can get the medical clearances, like, I say Godspeed to him, but yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't like the way his career ended. I don't like the way that all went down. But I also don't want to see that dude being a vegetable later in his fucking life, you know?
Yeah. I mean, at some point, if he's just hell-bent on it.
Yeah.
You know, I get why WWE would be so reluctant, given that they still have, like, some lawsuit around concussions
right
on the books. But if that went away, I bet they would feel a little more likely to, like, say, like, all right, yeah, go ahead. But with that on the books, like, anything that anyone involved in that lawsuit can point to and go, see, look.
They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the greater likelihood is that he would end up not renewing his contract and then going to New Japan or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
you know, do a couple of years of touring over there and, you know, maybe come back for one last swan song in WWE toward the end. They never did release Neville, did they?
I guess the story I read last week was that he had, like, asked for his release and was kind of, like, waiting for his contract to lapse, but it hadn't lapsed yet.
Right.
So, there was some story that like, that there was new movement on potentially him coming back in.
Okay.
Or not actually leaving. But like, they pulled him out of the intro to the TV show and stuff. Mm-hmm. At that point, so they were kind of expecting it to go. I guess I just was never enough of a Daniel Bryan fan to really like yeah, it's a bummer that he went out like that. And if he's getting these medical clearances, sure, yeah, bring him back in.
Yeah.
You know, make him sign an extra level of liability waiver.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
And, you know, maybe just don't have him to, like, wrestle every week. You know, like, put him in special matches, like, make it more of a, you know, event thing.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, like, I don't even, like, I'm just sitting here trying to think, like, what story do you put him in? Like, who do I want to see him wrestle? Like,
I mean, that's honestly why I'd almost rather he just go to New Japan. Like, it's a different talent roster for him to work with.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to, like, they don't have to build storylines around him necessarily. He can just go out there and just, like, fucking compete.
Right.
Like, he can be the American who doesn't join the Bullet Club, you know? Like, he can be the fucking...
Sure, yeah.
He can sort of fill in some of that, you know, that hero gaijin role. They haven't really had much of outside of, like, the junior tag division.
So say, man, what about Juice Robinson?
I mean, yeah, that's probably the closest they have right now. And he's been good over there. Like, I was never a fucking, you know, a big fan of him when he was in NXT or whatever. But, like, he's... New Japan has done wonders for that guy.
He's doing good. Like, the way those storylines went at the time were interesting in a, like, behind-the-curtain kind of way or whatever, but all the hijack Raw, like, all that, like, I just...
They were good ideas done badly in the way that WWE tends to do good ideas done badly.
It's like, oh, this is, like, actually kind of lame. Like, you're hurting this whole thing in a weird way. His, like, stint as, like, commissioner or whatever it is for SmackDown is, like, kind of soured me on the character in a lot of ways. It's like, ah, you're kind of not a great talker.
Yeah.
And that's what you're here to do, and this is not going great.
It just feels like a role he doesn't really want to be doing.
Right, yeah.
Like, I like him on, like, the talking smack stuff.
Yes,
and, like,
yeah.
When he's just kind of able to kind of cut loose a little more.
I would love to hear him give honest, open takes on the quality of wrestling. You know, just like, yeah. Like, I would love to hear his wrestling expertise come to bear. But, like, having him be storyline authority figure and whatever else, like, that stuff just is fucking boring.
Like, I honestly think he'd make a better color commentator.
Yeah. But not in WWE.
Yeah. Split and fucking the, you know, Shane versus Triple H shit and all that stuff has just been awful.
Yeah.
Like, what I've seen of it has just been atrocious, and so, like...
Like, the build to Survivor Series was, like, the most fucking... Like, they had one moment in it where they did a SmackDown Invades Raw thing, and it was...
Yeah.
It was a good, fun, backstage fucking, let's walk around here and beat up anybody we see...
Yeah.
...sort of thing, but...
But it also sounds like it kind of came out of nowhere and just, like, was never built upon in a meaningful way.
And then, then the stuff they did from there was just really weak. And it just turned into, like that. All that did is pivot the story into Stephanie McMahon does not want to be one-upped by her brother.
Right.
And it just goes back to the well on, like, McMahon infighting, but in the most, like, meaningless, fucking stakes-free way. Like, it's impossible for me to buy into any kind of, like, brand versus brand thing with the way they move people between shows and, like, to honestly believe, like, oh, everyone just put on a blue t-shirt and now they're all friends.
Yeah.
Because they all care about SmackDown. Like, no, that doesn't play with the...
Well, and on top of that, like, just the... I mean, look, the brand split has been bad from the get-go, but, like, especially because it just doesn't feel like anyone who watches WWE programming actually cares. Like, you can't foster a rivalry between shows if people don't care what show they're watching.
Right.
And that's the thing. Like, outside of, like, the very early goings when people were like, oh, SmackDown seems like it's kind of better, like, they've gone nowhere with that. And, like, you don't get the sense that, like, anyone in the audience really cares about which show it is that they're attending or watching. It's just like, well, this is what we have.
Because it's not like, I mean, for the live crowds of those shows, it's not like they had a choice to go to Raw instead of SmackDown, unless it's like the day after a fucking big pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, we went to the show that came to our town.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be SmackDown this time, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go see Raw in 6 months. I don't know. Like... fan investment in fucking, like, which show is better. Like, people have opinions about it, but not in a fucking, like, I'm loyal to this show.
Yeah.
This is, yeah, it, like, there was something, like, and this is more me than what I... than the situation, but like the reality of here's a bunch of independent contractors fucking pledging fucking fealty to a sub-brand of a company that they work for, like sometimes it's like, man, fuck this. This is just the dumbest shit. Impossible to buy into. And now they're trying to do some whole thing, which I have not seen any of it, I just read about it, where, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were deemed to not be loyal enough to SmackDown during the Survivor Series build and show.
Right.
So, now they're bad guys. Extra bad guys. Because they did not wear the blue shirts.
Right.
Fuck off. this feels like this weird situation where they've maybe never had more talent on their roster ever before, in terms of just like raw wrestling ability, but channeling that into coherent storylines and interesting situations. It seems like they've rarely been further away from the mark.
Yeah.
Like through that whole invasion, or coming out of that invasion thing. Like, they painted the New Day as, like, the fucking flag bearers for that thing. Like, yeah, you were the guys that were out there doing it. Like, I don't want to see, like, that's not what I think of when I think of the New Day.
Yeah.
I think of Big E fucking the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Not their three Arn Andersons enforcing the shit out of their brand. They put on a show that was just a full 2 hours of Big E laying on the mat, humping.
That he is not, like, one of the top-tier guys in that company yet is fucking criminal.
In my mind, he very much is a top-tier guy in that company.
But that guy should be a world champion by this point. That guy should be in the mix for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I would much rather see a situation where he's got, like, the fucking, you know, like, if he had, like, the U.S. title, the U.S. title, and then Kofi and Xavier have the tag belts or whatever, you know, instead of, like, where it seems to be that they're just doing with the Shield again. For all the fucking shit you can talk about fucking their storytelling and all the other stuff, like, you have to give them credit for being fucking stubborn and awful, and they fucking did it. Like, they outsmarted the fans again, and now people cheer for Roman Reigns.
Yep. Because he doesn't have to do anything.
He won a belt, and now people are fucking pumped, and crowds seem fucking stoked. It's just like...
Yeah, but they gave him the Intercontinental Championship, which is probably what they should have done to begin with.
No kidding, yeah.
Like, maybe you should have built him up a little bit, with, you know, giving him some time. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're going to do, you know, their own version of, like, the open challenge thing with him.
Yeah.
Which, fine, yeah. No, I mean, if it just lets him, like, be good at wrestling for a while and doesn't require him to, like, talk about how he's the top dog over and over and over again...
Well, he doesn't have to, because the announcers do that in, a more embarrassing way.
Yeah.
Like, they had fucking... We got home early enough on Monday to where I got to watch, or I had most of Raw on, and they had him fucking wrestle Elias.
Yes, who is apparently... I've not been watching, but it sounds like people are more into Elias as a bad guy now.
He is doing really well.
Yeah.
That said... If fucking, when you look at the character that Roman Reigns has become one way or the other, having an incredibly competitive match with the likes of Elias for the Intercontinental Belt does not fucking help Roman Reigns.
Right.
There's a great fucking moment that, like, I went back and forth on 9 times over the course of the segment before landing on, no, this is the right come. Where they had Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel come out with Elias, because Miz is out filming a movie.
Right.
And had them play the harmonica while Elias played guitar. And the way they went for it, while very much obviously not actually playing the harmonica.
Right.
Was fantastic television.
I'm glad that they didn't throw Axel and Bo into the fucking wood chipper while Miz was gone.
Yeah. Well, no, they're probably still going to do that, but...
Look, as long as they're in the wood chipper on television doing dumb shit...
Yeah.
That's fine. That's probably where they belong.
And it was a beautiful segment, because I could look at that and go, you know what? That looks fucking really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I bet those fucking guys are having a really great time with this dumb thing. No, I mean, you know, like, if, at least they're not the club. They are doing the Christmas is coming, here's the merchandise ad. Now, like, DX used to do, so that's a good spot for them, right?
Sure. Except that people liked DX.
They're pretty good at doing it.
Yeah.
It gives them a chance to fucking talk like Steve Austin while pointing at Steve Austin merchandise, which they're really good at doing. Did you watch any of that second chunk of Southpaw Regional Wrestling?
I have not really. I watched a little bit of the first bit and thought, that's funny, and then I canceled my subscription, so I...
Oh, it's all on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because those are all ads for stuff. Like, it's, that thing, whole thing is literally like a custom content deal.
Okay. I should probably go back and watch those now.
Yeah, they're good. The second run is not as good as the first.
Well, you know, it doesn't have the surprise factor.
Yeah. It did allow them to have a pretty good Halloween match where those guys dressed up as Chad Too Bad and Tex Ferguson. They're Southpaw Regional Wrestling characters. Which made me hope that they would get hit on the head and think that they were actually those characters and just fucking stick with it, because I think that'd be way fucking cooler. Maybe that's what wrestling needs more of, people getting hit on the head and forgetting shit.
Right. Slipping into weird alter egos.
Yeah. One of the old WCW pay-per-views I was watching, it was the culmination of, like, months of Cactus Jack being out of action because he got hurt or his bag got stolen. Something happened, and then he was living on the streets of Cleveland. Because Vader had his bag. And so they had some reporter, you know, just, it's, it looked like with the number of segments they were able to pull from in the like, package before the match or whatever, that made it seem like that they had drawn this out for months of, like, trying to convince Cactus Jack that he was Cactus Jack and bringing his wife and kid and him not recognizing them and all this other stuff. And then just returning to the ring, running out and beating up Harley Race or something. And then in like a good foreshadowing of WCW, they had him get out there and say, no, I actually knew who I was the whole time. I just needed to make Vader and Harley Race think that I had forgotten.
So it's all a swerve.
Yeah, so that they wouldn't expect it coming. That wasn't even my real wife and kid. It's like, it's a needless wrinkle to this story that actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
The thing I realized watching some of that old stuff is that I miss how fucking, like, wrestling was the right kind of dumb. like cheesy in a way that you can kind of go, yeah, this is, yeah. These Freebirds are real bad.
Yeah.
But I love watching it.
Well, it was real just cartoons.
Right.
Human cartoons.
Yeah. I got an email last night from Electronic Arts.
The Electronic Arts?
Yep. The Electronic Artists themselves.
What did they have to say?
It was like a consumer-facing, not like a, hey, you're a media person.
Right.
And the subject line of the email was just, I should look it up. Like, Star Wars Battlefront 2 reviews are in. And they made an Accolades trailer for that game. That's like three quotes. One of them is just like, it's like being in a Star Wars movie. Like, just these empty fucking quotes. With footage wrapped around it. And, man, if I had the time,
re-edited with,
yes,
with other quotes.
That's all it would take. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exact same trailer, different quotes, put it back out there. 38 million pre-registrations for that 10-cent Battle Royale game. It's out now.
Huh.
It is number one in China.
That, yeah, I'll buy that. I wonder if it's any good.
Yeah. Stoked to play Catan VR?
What does that mean?
Catan VR is the virtual tabletop experience that invites you and your buddies to play Catan on the actual island of Catan.
No.
No? I always heard that you were a big Catan fan.
I am a Catan fan. That said, I don't know that I need to play that game with the fucking VR headset on.
What? Now you're just being crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, but I don't know. Just doesn't immediately kind of leap out at me as something that I need to do with my life and my time.
Before they announced that they were doing this, like, a few months ago, I got some emails. They were, like, trying to get me to go to, like, the Oculus Connect keynote or something like that, or trying to go down to San Jose for their thing. And I politely declined. But they were very much like, we've got a new game we're announcing, you know, based on a very popular IP that I think you might be familiar with. And wrote it in such a way that was like, you know, that made it seem like, okay, well, it's like some kind of board or card game or something. And so I was left sitting there thinking, like, is this going to be like a Cards Against Humanity thing? Like, does this person know that we've done a few things with them years ago? Or... And then I said, like, okay, tell me what it is under embargo. I would be very interested in knowing. And then we got the thing. It was like, it's Catan. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I'm not. Look, here's the thing. I'm not against the virtual tabletop stuff. I think that's kind of an interesting way to go with that stuff. Catan is just such a low key game, you know. Like, there's nothing that you could really give me as far as an immersive experience is concerned that I couldn't just get setting up a board and playing it.
What if you set up a board and played it on the island of Catan?
But there's nothing about the island of Catan that is, like, noteworthy. It's just resources on a map. It's not fucking, like, there's a whole sort of, like, visual aesthetic to it. Like, am I gonna just be sitting in the middle of a fucking wheat field? Am I gonna be on a plane with some sheep? Is that how we're doing this?
Yeah, 100 sheep jump out of a plane.
All right, see, now you're talking.
The thing I don't get about that stuff is I feel like there's a, you know, it's not everyone, but I feel like there's some accepted, like, the concept of, like, hey, if you wear this VR headset for a really long period of time, it's just going to be unpleasant at some point. Like, it's not... Whether it's, you know, for different people, it'll be a different type of unpleasant. Either the motion thing will get to you, or maybe the headset will eventually just feel too heavy on your neck.
Should I just try the tunnel? It doesn't seem like there's...
If you want, yeah, maybe give it a go.
Give it a shot. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like, I just... For stuff like that, like, just the very idea of that experience does not sound appealing to me at all.
How long does the average game of Catan take?
I don't know, like... If you're playing with a good engaged group, like, I don't know, half an hour, 40 minutes.
Okay, that's not...
Yeah. I mean,
I was envisioning some kind of Risk-like fucking multi-hour nightmare.
If you start getting into, like, the expansions and stuff, like, it could definitely take longer, but just, like, full-on regular-ass Catan, like, is not super long.
Ooh, here's a headline from the chat. Star Citizen players can now buy plots of land for up to $100.
Man, they've gotten really good at finding ways to get people to give them money, haven't they? Like, that to me feels like the thing they have revolutionized the most with that game is how many different ways can you pay us?
Yeah. Keep wondering if that thing's ever going to come crashing down in a fucking dramatic and, like, not legal way.
There's still plenty of time for it to happen.
Yeah. Like, at what point does it become actually criminal?
Derek Smart's campaign against that game has not yet seen its apex.
Ugh. Question from the chat, is Star Citizen the Scientology of video games?
Not yet.
Is Beck way into Star Citizen?
Not that I know of. Yeah, until, like, the developers of that game start spearing away, you know, rowdy employees to fucking, you know, some gold base in the desert. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're there yet.
Free space personality test.
Turns out once you go deep into space, all you find is beatings.
I mean, I always knew that was where we're going to be.
Yeah. So.
Huh. Deep fire alarm yesterday was not a drill, but it was a false alarm.
Okay.
Maintenance being performed on the system to ensure it does not happen again.
Yeah, I mean, with how quickly they let people in, I assumed it had to be something like that.
Yeah. Tunnel thing doesn't seem great.
Yeah. Well, now I know.
Yeah.
We're almost out of it. Soon we'll be free.
Games would ever go back to a monthly subscription fee in the wake of all this shit. If that's how this goes. It's like, oh, well, if we can't sell the microtransactions at the rate that we were selling them before, and season passes do weird things to multiplayer games. Okay, give us $9.
I mean, I think with some games you could potentially pull that off. I think in a world where all console multiplayer costs a yearly subscription,
right,
that might be a tougher sell.
Yeah.
Like, maybe not so much for PC, but for console. I feel like, on top of what you're paying for PS Plus or Xbox Live, people might be reluctant to throw down another $9 or $10 a month.
Right. I'm just trying to think of, like, what publishers will attempt to get away with in the wake of this.
Right. It'll be something stupid. Of that, I'm certain. Everyone when they're not playing games.
Okay.
You have to pay to stop.
That sounds like a deal.
Yeah. Oh, we're sorry you didn't like Star Wars Battlefront. That'll be $90.
It's free up front.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you stop paying... I'm
there's a dog in this car staring at us.
What? Dog? Okay, yep. You're right. That's a dog. See, the dog wants to fight.
More likely that dog wants to hang out. Wants to party.
Okay.
That looks like a party dog to me.
Alright. I'll party with a dog.
Yeah. Whomst among us really wouldn't.
Grateful Dead sticker on the back of that car. Do you think that dog is high?
No, but the driver almost certainly is.
Okay. We've got to get that dog out of there.
Yeah.
Run up and punch through the back window of this Land Rover and pull that dog out.
Send him off to freedom.
Yep. Go! Serious out here.
Mm-hmm.
These cars.
It's real.
Word from the chat here. If you don't have a head, you can't see.
What if I had, like, sonar shit in, like, in my butt.
Like, literal shit, or just, like...
No, okay. Yeah, I mean, that too, yeah. But, like, that doesn't have the sonar on it.
Got it, okay. I mean, what is sight, really?
Exactly.
I mean, if we take that approach, then I suppose, then... But I feel like that's... You're still able to perceive things, but that's technically not seeing. Perception.
I'm just saying that nature finds a way, and if we didn't have heads, eyes would probably be in butts.
And I'm saying power achieved is power perceived.
Thought he was going to squeeze me out.
Nope.
He was incorrect. Oh man, look how happy this guy looks. Looks positively jolly.
Yep. He's all looking at me in my fancy mustache.
I haven't seen anyone in San Francisco look that happy in years.
I should probably lock that guy up then.
Yeah.
Definitely up to no good.
I don't trust anyone whose spirit hasn't been broken by this city.
Yeah. Hooray, we made it.
We did.
We're gonna go talk quietly but passionately about video games.
Hell yes.
For the next multiple days. See you later.